Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another great episode with the Clutch Podcast. And I'm hanging out with my girlfriends tonight as we open up the door to talk about another journey of dating in the 21st century. So let me go out to my ladies and see how everybody's feeling tonight. And I normally ask, like, where you're calling from and what type of mood you're in. But tonight, since we're talking about dating in the 21st century, my question is, as you share where you're calling from and all that, I want to know the first thing that comes to mind when you think about the last person that you dated, not the person that you may be dating now, the last person you dated. What comes to your mind when you think about that person? But again, give us your name, where you're calling from as well. All right, ladies, let's do it.
Hey, this is Speak, a.k.a. Corinne, calling out the DMV. And Gemini, that's what I'm going to say, Gemini.
All right, so the last person you dated, what comes to mind is Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, our fellow co-host actually is a Gemini. So let's go out to you, lady.
Well, this is Dee, a.k.a. Dara. And the last person I dated, what first thing comes to mind is Cougar.
Cougar?
Yeah. He was a couple decades younger than me.
Well, I need to revisit what we were talking about before the show started because I got some questions. And she didn't say a couple of years.
No.
She said a couple. I got to ask. Was he in his 20s?
No. You gotta remember, I'm almost to 60, so
I know how old you are.
40. He was not
a couple
yet
of decades.
40. Yeah, so 20 years.
Oh, he was in his 30s.
Well, he was, yes, late 30s.
Okay. Okay, this is a whole another situation. It's a whole another show. Called Cougar. What's the youngest? How low you went? All right, ladies. So tonight we're talking about dating in the 21st century. And I'm looking forward to us dropping our book called Dating in 21st Century as well, because dating has definitely changed over the last 20 plus years. And I just kind of want to have a conversation in reference to dating. Is that okay, ladies? Can we have a conversation tonight?
Totally.
All right. So how do you think dating has changed in the 21st century compared to previous generations? Let's put that on the table and let's open that up to this trail of dating in the 21st century. How has it changed?
So for me, since I've been around the longest, it's changed a lot over and over and over again. But I will tell you, what I really, I tried the online dating and I tried I didn't go to the apps where you just swipe. Maybe I think I dated one person from there, that type of thing. But honestly, I miss the days where somebody knew somebody who was just really cool and they knew you. And they knew you were really cool, and they fixed you up, and people got to know each other face-to-face.
Okay. And I think dating has definitely changed a lot over the last few generations, because kind of like Dara mentioned, it's not really – everybody wants microwave something. Microwave success, microwave love, they want quick, fast, and in a hurry. Nobody really wants to take their time. So it has definitely changed tremendously in the last couple of generations, and it's, to me, it just really amazes me on how, like, dating has changed. Just to give an example before we go out to UC, I have a friend of mine that was married for 19 years, and she had spent about 2 years going back and forth with her husband before they actually divorced. And again, she was married to this one man, which was her lover since she was like 17, for 19 years and 3 kids later. So she had to start, like, learning how to be single, learning how to not be married. Like, I understood the emotional situation she was going through. So she said she met a guy at the gas station one day, and he just kind of was really nice, and then he ended up saying, let me get your number. So she really didn't know, like, how it worked, so she gave him a number. I think she met him, like, once for dinner, once for drinks or something like that. And she was just, like, going out enjoying life, like, not even really dating. And then she said he wanted the third date to be about sex. And she was devastated. And we were all talking about this in a group me chat, right? And she was like, and the girls in the group said, well, what were you expecting? And she was like, like dinner, drinks, just kind of hanging out, doing fun stuff, like having a friend that's a male. And they're like, no, boo. Like, in relationships now, like, on the third, fourth date, like, you're having sex. And she was like, no. And even I was like, no. Like, her whole life has changed. But anyway, I said that to say, over half the group thought that she was crazy for thinking that it wasn't time to have sex. And I thought they were crazy because I didn't realize people took things so fast. So I said that to say, I feel like the dating game has definitely changed drastically in the last few generations. And when people find out you're conservative or you're a little slow, it's like you're lame, kind of, sort of. That's kind of what my thoughts are initially. How about you, a.k.a. Corinne?
You know, I just heard a new term the other day. I was watching somebody's YouTube video. And they were saying that the guy likes to do insta dating. And I never even heard of insta dating before. I thought it was like, oh, you get a girl for Instagram or something. But insta dating is when you meet up with somebody, let's say at a Starbucks, and when they come, you see them and you decide at that point if you want to actually date them or not. So if you don't want to date the person, you actually, you just ignore them. And that's insta dating. So you don't have the obligation of, like, having to date them, I guess.
To actually get to know a person.
Are they meeting in a place and then just not talking and they don't like each other?
Yeah, so if I invite you on a date, and let's say you're already at the Starbucks or whatever, and you have the option to, like, talk to me, but if you don't talk to me, that means you're not interested.
Wow.
But
and that's crazy. I never heard that before.
Can I chime in? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no, the whole point is you never get to know a person for who they are. You only looking at their looks, and that is
instigating.
That's huge. That's to me, that's horrible, because there's a lot of people that won't meet that right person because they were so shallow.
Yeah, that's really. I hadn't heard of instigating, but it's funny because I know when we did a podcast a couple of years ago, and Corinne was talking about a hot girl summer. And I was like, what's that? You remember that scene?
Yeah.
I had no idea what a hot girl summer was. Like, and now I use that word all the time.
I definitely was living
smack. Living the life. So let me ask you guys, what are your thoughts on online dating and dating apps? Like, do you find them helpful or challenging? I know you alluded to it, Dara, you know, when you were talking about how dating has changed. But let's open this up. Let's talk about first online dating and the dating apps. And if you found any apps helpful, talk about that. And Corinne, you know there's one I want you to definitely tell about. But is it helpful, online dating, the dating apps? Is it challenging? Or what are your thoughts when it comes to online dating?
Well, Corinne.
Oh, nobody wants to.
Oh, I thought you said D to go first. Yeah, no. So there is and I don't know if you want me to say the name of it to give them a shameless plug, but there is a platform that when I was single, I was on because at the time, I'm like, I don't have time to casually date, so I'm going to date with a purpose, and I'm not looking for a boyfriend, so that's not the purpose. So there's a website out there where you can go on a date with someone and get financially compensated. So
hey, people,
that's what I did on my hot girl summer.
Subscribe, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, yeah, basically, and it's nothing sexual, so it's not like an escort type of thing, because I'd be damned, but they pay for you to go out, obviously, like a normal date, but then they also, before you even go on the date, you say, okay, they bid on you, basically, so they're like, oh, I want to go on a date with you for $50, and you can say, no, I'm not going to go for $50, but I'll go with you for $200, and they might say, no, that's too much, and then they might meet you at $150, so that's pretty much how that went, and I went on a few dates, and I didn't go on any second dates with anyone, but I got my money, and it was nice food, and it was always somebody weird, because I think that people that pay for dates are probably a little weird. But that's how that went.
Wow.
Ooh.
What are your thoughts, D? But are you guys a fan of online dating or no?
No.
No.
I mean, not without a financial gain.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Because I feel like online dating, the guy just wants to smash. So at least with that, the way I was dating, I was socializing because I didn't really have I wanted to socialize, but I didn't want to, A, I didn't want a relationship. B, I just wanted to get out, have, conversation, adult conversation. The only thing I was doing was working. So that was my way of having a social life but still not feeling like I'm wasting time by going out and hanging out with this guy that's probably a loser that I'm not interested in for real.
Wow. What are your thoughts, D, in reference to, like, online dating?
I agree with C. A lot of, it's a lot of people who think, sending you a picture is parts. That kind of stuff. When I was doing the online dating and the online chatting, the problem is you don't know who anybody is, and you don't know if they're married, and you don't know, they're doing stuff they shouldn't be doing a lot of time. And I had one rule that I don't date married men or, men that are taken. And, I found it just got tiresome, and I would rather be single than trying to figure out who's who and what do they want and are we compatible. And I don't think I really had a whole lot of true success. All my relationships, they come from real interaction.
Okay. I guess one of the things is, that's fine. That might be interesting with all the ones. We'll definitely kind of see what they want to add. But I think that, especially with COVID, you guys think about the fact that we wasn't able to really go out or do anything. And all we had was really Zoom and other, video chats or online capabilities. And the sites like Plenty of Fish and Tag and so on and so forth, I know these sites were going through the roof with people subscribing because that's really all we had to really get to know each other. Even the way people do business today is mostly on video through some of these different types of, sites. And unfortunately, I think online could be a beautiful thing in reference to dating and meeting people. But like C mentioned, a lot of people on these dating sites want just sex. Like with one of my companies, we actually put people on different sites. My men and women that's incarcerated, that's looking to meet people and build relationships. So we do a lot of Plenty of Fish, a lot of Tag, and so on and so forth. And we have had people meet great people to build with and stuff like that, and they got visits. But then there's a lot of people that, you know, send dick pictures and blah, blah, blah. It's kind of like a mixture. And even the paid site, they have some trash and some stuff on there. And one of the things you mentioned about not knowing if people are married, a lot of times on these dating sites, sometimes you don't even know if it's a man or a woman because the world has changed so much and you have so many people that's done different things and had sex changes or, you know, some people look like this or that. I've had guys tell me that they met women on the dating site and when they went to meet up with her that she was not even a she. You know what I'm saying? I had a guy tell me one time he was talking to a girl. Now, why he didn't video chat before he got there, I don't know. He went and met some girl on a dating site, and when he got to her house, the picture she had online was really of her daughter. So there's so many crazy things that's happened from the dating site. And I know we've all heard of, like, the Craigslist stories where when Craigslist had the personals and people actually met people off of Craigslist and people got, like, raped and even hurt. So I know that there's pros and cons, but my question to you guys is, if we're single, right, and you're not meeting someone on a dating app, what really are the options? Like, people aren't going out as much as they used to, and a lot of people are kind of more into the online thing now. So what are really the options to meet if you're looking to date and mingle?
Those, you know, to me, those are it. And, you know, like, I was blessed to have somebody, you know, introduce me to my current boyfriend. And I really feel like, you know, being able to spend time getting to know him, because I met him through the pandemic, and so we couldn't even meet. So I talked to him for 7 months before we ever met. And the cool part was I was able to trust him implicitly because I got to know him and he got to know me. And I think that you can do it from being online. The problem is that you really have to vet. You can't just go with a picture. You gotta do different ways of finding out who this person is, who they really are. And that's the scary part.
That's true. I definitely agree. And I think that any type of way or method that we meet people, we definitely have to be careful. And even like now, you know, as we're talking about dating in the 21st century and we're doing this online, you know, people have the capabilities to dial in and say, I want to chime in too. So we actually have someone that is waiting in the waiting room to join in on the conversation. So welcome to the show. This is TC and D, and we're talking about dating in the 21st century. Who do we have that's joined us?
Yeah, my name is Joe. I've been listening to you, all of you talk. It's dating isn't that hard. All you have to do is for girls to be relatively attractive. You just meet a guy, and you have a couple of dates at a restaurant, at a bar, and talk. And then from there, if you have good feelers, you can go from there. It's not hard. Online dating, yeah, people send you bad pictures and stuff. You agree to meet somebody at a place which is public, and you talk on the phone. It's not hard at all.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question, Joe, as in reference to what you just said. Tell us a little bit about you as far as your status. Are you a single guy? If you are, what are you looking for? Or if you're married?
I'm a single guy. I'm a single guy. And what I'm looking for is a girl with morals and some common sense. A lot of women believe that what they have to offer is what guys want. And it's, they're off the charts. They don't know what they're doing. they think, well, I'm single, independent, I got my own car, I got my own house, I got my own job, and therefore I'm a catch. Men don't give a shit about what you do, only about your character and your personality. So when girls say they can't find a date, to me it means they're not that attractive or they don't have good personalities. It's very easy for a girl to find a guy. Now, are there a lot of scumbags out there? I wouldn't say a lot, but there's enough of a percentage to make girls very, very leery. Can't blame them, you know?
Okay.
So.
And what are some of the places that you're actually meeting women, like, for dating?
Oh, I have met, dances. I like online dating for the theory of it, but when I find that a girl emails me, if I email her like a two-paragraph email or send it through the site, and she gives me responses that are one sentences, two sentences, that's not a great conversationalist. So that to me is like, okay, nice talking to you. Bye-bye. So,
now,
ladies,
not to cut you off, Joe, but ladies, it's interesting he said that, because I had another topic where we talked about people being emotionally unavailable and so on and so forth. What are you ladies' thoughts about that? Like he just mentioned, if he's dialoguing, he sends an email that's lengthy, that's some detail, a paragraph, and the response back is one sentence or two. Like, what are you guys' thoughts about that, ladies? Like, have you been on the end of receiving that, or have you done that? What are your thoughts? Because communication is extremely important.
This is C. I remember one time somebody on LinkedIn, of all places, sent me like a I don't know how many pages long email about how they wanted to date me and all this stuff. Mind you, this is a complete stranger. And I actually, first I was reading it, then I'm like, this is still going on? Like, it was a lot. But I didn't even reply to it because I just thought the whole thing was weird. But I know what he's talking about in terms of, like, you know, someone sending you something maybe on a dating app or whatever, and that's a little bit different. But I think that sometimes if we're not replying or we're replying in a short, it's because maybe we didn't care to read what you said. That could be one. Two, maybe someone that's not mentally on your level, so they're not going to think, maybe they're younger in mind, maybe not necessarily younger in age. You know, this, yes, nowadays, you know, with the whole short texting and people really don't take thought into, like, younger generations, I should say, don't take thought of, like, replying with a lengthy response, or they're just not interested.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if email's too long, I've been guilty of that, but that's because I've met somebody, and when I write, I happen to let my ideas flow, and I don't stop them. So I have been guilty of that, because I've read my emails later, and I said, Jesus, I write a hell of a lot.
And you scared the bejesus out of her.
Yeah, you know? So,
but are you, is it substance, though, Joe? Like, even though it's long, is it substance?
It's about a topic that
rambling?
We had talked about. Yeah. No, it's not rambling. It's about a topic that she and I had talked about. But I just let, as I said, I let my thoughts come into my head, and then I just type them out. I took a look at it, and I said, yeah, I wouldn't answer this except in about one or two sentences either, you know. But the thing is, people, if they're going to have a conversation online or in person, practice the art of conversation and listening. It's simple. The thing is that there was one of your callers was saying it was one of these instances where she believed that it was too shallow, because if you're taking a look at somebody's looks, it's too shallow. If you're going to take a look at somebody's looks, and if you're going to go, ooh, and make the person feel bad, that to me is very shallow. But if you're going to take a look at somebody's looks and say, nah, that's not my type, that's normal. That's DNA. We're attracted to attractive people, you know? It's just how you handle it. By the way, my number, you're seeing 111, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm pissing out my phone.
Okay, all right. I understand it, but let me ask you guys, this is my thing, like, when it comes to dating, if you're not interested in someone, how do you guys give polite rejection? Because everyone is not interested or attracted. Like, if you meet someone online or if you meet face-to-face and you don't have that chemistry or connection, and this has been a question I've asked people for 20 years, how do you give polite rejection? Do you ghost someone? Do you gaslight? Like, what is it that you do to give polite rejection or rude rejection? Like, do you go first? If you're not interested, like, how do you handle it?
When you get to a certain age, you know, and you're just like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not interested. And there are some people who won't take no for an answer, you know, and then you just tell them you're gay or whatever. But, you know, I've always been one of those people that's more, you know, upfront. But there's been times I've had to ghost, I've had to block. It just depends. You know, it really just depends on the situation. But I really try, you know, I try to be nice and not, you know, not put it on them. You know, it's not the right fit.
Can I answer that from a male perspective?
Go ahead.
Just be polite. If, for example, all four of you know each other, if you don't like something the other person's doing, you're going to be polite with them. If you don't know a guy, tell the guy there's no chemistry. Don't do it on the date. Do it on the phone. If he calls you, be very polite and say, hey, you know, John, I enjoyed the night out with you, but I just don't feel there's any real chemistry. And, you know, we have to have chemistry if we're going to go forward. So he might say, well, you know, I feel chemistry for you. I say, well, I'm a good-looking chick. You know, make a joke out of it. But then just let them down very easy. You don't be blunt about it. You don't hang up. You just treat the person with courtesy. And the person may call a couple of times because men are persistent. But then after that, you still be polite. Let them know for sure. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, John. Thank you, Bob. But I just don't feel the chemistry there, and we have to have chemistry. And eventually, a guy will get the message. Now, if the guy doesn't, now you got a stalker. But 90% of guys are going to get the message.
Okay. And I respect that as easy to do. Like, how do you handle it, C?
So if you were talking about, like, if it's, like, based on looks, if I was, like, let's say, running my errands and a guy tries to talk to me and I'm just not attracted to him, I make up a boyfriend.
No, you met a guy, whether it's online or your friend told you about him, and you guys met up face-to-face and, like, for a date or dinner, and you meet face-to-face and you don't have the vibe or chemistry or you're not attracted. How do you give polite rejection?
I try not to put myself in that type of situation. Because I'm always trying to be polite, right? But, so there was one time where I went out on a date with a guy, and I found him to be attractive, but there was no chemistry. And he was just cute. That was it. But I'm like, okay, I can get a whole lot of other cute guys. So I was like, well, let me kiss you. Let me see this chemistry. So I was just disgusted after I kissed him. And I was like, you know what? This ain't going to work out. And he was like, what? And I was like, it's not going to work out. So, but that didn't turn out good for me because he stalked me afterwards. So, yeah, he definitely did. And he worked at my job, so they put him on a different shift. It was a whole thing. But so I try not to put myself in those type of situations where I'm just dating a guy that I haven't met before, that I hadn't, you know, at least build up a repertoire before we went out on a date, because looks is one thing, but chemistry is another thing. And if a person is boring, I can't sit there and just like, oh, well, you're cute. Like, I can get a cute guy. That's not a problem. But it's just everything else has to be there. And it wasn't with him at all. So, but if it was like
wow.
a situation which, you know, happens, like, you know, you walking down the street and, you know, you see someone and they try to talk to you, I'm polite. I went through a stage where I'm like, I'm not dating anyone, but they still want to give you your phone number. I went through a stage where it's like, oh, well, I have a boyfriend, and then that doesn't work. So, like, I have to say I'm married so that they were like, oh, you really committed. So it's weird because that's my fear is, like, being mean to someone, then it you know, they want to be mean back to you. And it's not that you're being mean necessarily. It's just that you're being honest, and they can't take your honesty.
Okay. That's really interesting. And I want to introduce the next caller that just joined in. But after he tells who he is, we're going to talk about sex and dating. Like, how long do you wait, if at all? But 713, introduce yourself. We're talking about dating in the 21st century. And if you meet someone and you're not interested, how do you give polite rejection? 713.
My name is Carl Parker, and I'm an author under ACTM, and I'm familiar with Mr. Wanda. But to get right to the question, I think that it's not being rude when you just be direct, not interested, because you got more pressing, you know, matters to deal with if you're not interested in dating at that point. And it's kind of self-explanatory.
So are you just going to say you're not interested?
That's not being mean-spirited. That's being firm and direct, and it's not a lie.
Okay. D or C, how would you feel if a guy said, nice to meet you, but I'm not interested in you?
I'm good with that.
It's okay. Somebody else wanted.
Oh, wow. All righty, then. Okay.
Right. The way that you said it. I don't think anybody would like it like that. You don't say, I'm not interested. You can say, well, thank you, but I'm really not interested, and then give a nice, rational reason, like, I don't think there's any chemistry. You're dealing with human feelings. Yeah, you can be blunt and you can be direct, but you also have to have an attitude of showing courtesy towards the other person. So to say, none of you on the line will ever appreciate any guy that you're interested in because he's really nice looking or you know him just a little bit, and he says, nah, I'm not interested. You're not going to like
him. Yeah. We won't appreciate him because he said that?
Well, I would appreciate how Joe – I mean, I understand being blunt, but I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
No.
So, yeah, I like to find the nicest way possible. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't mean a person can't be a friend, even if you don't have chemistry. I just want to be careful how I treat people. So, yeah. All right, but I got to ask you guys, because I was saying this before when we started talking about dating in the 21st century, is the dating game has changed. So when it comes to meeting someone that you're dating or you're casually going, if you go on 3 or 4 dates, is that dating? Is there a big difference between dating and, like, this is my boyfriend, my girlfriend? Is that the same thing or what?
I think they're different.
I think the commitment should be clarified one way or the other by the 3rd or 4th date, whichever.
What we're doing.
Yeah,
right.
What we're doing here.
So in reference to...
I just think people are less into wasting time these days, and, you know, I think that's a good thing.
Okay, I can respect that. So when you meet someone and you're dating, you're building, hey, I like her, we like him, she doesn't really matter. When it comes to sex, do you guys feel like that has changed over the last few years or decades? You know, I know Steve Harvey has a book saying the 90-day rule, and some people say the 90-day rule. What are you guys' stance on meeting and having sex? 1 week, 1 month? 3 months, what are your thoughts? What are your expectations?
I think it's going to depend. So the situations that I've been in, they are based on, like you asked the question, are you dating if you're just going out to dinner and blah, blah, blah. But usually you go on that first date or that second date and now you're talking. If you like each other, you're talking and texting during the day. You're talking at night. You may not see them all the time because, you know, people got to work. They got things going on. But I honestly believe that if you're dating, you're communicating regular. And you can tell that they're thinking about you and they can tell you're thinking about them. And so going out and having some dinner here and there, to me, is not dating. And by the end of the fourth date, if that's where we're at and we're just going from time to time, then there's no expectation that there should be sex like that night because he bought you four dinners or something.
I think chemistry is probably the most important thing there. And by the second or third week, you should know what the chemistry is. You guys, you know,
exactly.
They're adults and they should be telling each other out pretty good. And, you know, that attraction thing is big. You can tell. You can just tell a lot of times, you know, whether this is something that you really want to pursue or something that you want to do or even for thinking in terms of making a commitment somewhere down the line. So chemistry, that's the ideal thing, I think.
Anyway. But are you expecting sex after two or three weeks?
I think that chemistry will dictate whether that sex occurs or not, because a lot of times a guy can tell if he really even wants to be into a girl like that. He may not even want that, you know. He might have thought he wanted that in the beginning, but he'll have it figured out in a couple of weeks.
Okay. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah.
It's 3 dates or you're gone.
Hold up, Joe. Hold up. Hold up, Joe. What do you mean by that?
I mean, if a guy's paying for a girl, she knows that she's going out with a guy and he's paying for her. He's not doing it because he's a friend. He's doing it because he's interested in her. Now, the chemistry has to be there. But if the chemistry isn't there, then she shouldn't be with the guy and she shouldn't allow him to pay. Now, I go Dutch because I want to make sure the girl wants to be with me. None of this nonsense where I got to pay. So 3 dates, either going Dutch or 3 days, 3 days when a guy's paying. Now, like this guy, the caller was saying, there's right, the chemistry after 2 days. There are women who brag in magazines about how women can tell the chemistry is there within 10 seconds, how they know that this guy, even though he may not be the one for life, but he's the one that she wants to be with at least temporarily, a date or so. So to me, it's 3 dates, or like I say, if the chemistry isn't there, then why are you out on the third date?
Okay. What's your thought, C?
I agree with Joe to a extent, Dutch Joe over there. If you went on so many like dates with somebody and you realize that like, okay, like this isn't where it's at, then it's like, why are you still continuing to date them? But I also feel like dating when you're 20 is a little bit different dating when you're 40, because when I was 20, I was like really blunt. I was like, you're not the only one. I'm dating other people and we'll see if you even get any cookies. So that's where I was at 20. Now I'm 40. I got so much stuff going on that, I mean, obviously I'm in a relationship now, but when I was single, it's like, all right, I'm dating with a purpose. So it's like I don't even have time to waste my time to dating you if I don't want to date you. So it's like, let me talk to you on the phone a couple of times to see if I ever even want to hang out with you. If your conversation is dry, you don't seem like you have any substance, then it's like, okay, I don't even want to hang out with you. And I'm really on to the next one.
Okay. Now, last three questions that I want to ask you guys. This one, the next one is about gender roles and relationships. And, Joe, you kind of alluded to this when you first came onto the show tonight. Now, again, the world has changed, and we're talking about dating in the 21st century. And over the last 2-3 decades, dating has changed tremendously in so many different ways, right? So let's talk about men. When you're in a relationship with a woman, what are your thoughts and feelings in reference to gender roles and expectations? Somebody earlier mentioned Dutch. A lot of times you have women that, I'm an independent woman, I'm a boss, I'm this, I'm that. You have some women that say, I make $100,000 a year and he makes $60,000. Is that an issue? how are you guys when it comes to men and women and the gender roles, or does it even matter at all? Let us hear from the guys first. So, ladies, you can kind of come at them if they're not correct.
I think what matters is that, you know,
you got to say your name now, so we'll know who's speaking.
This is Carl speaking. And okay. I think it's important, you know, to have sort of equal incomes and that type of thing, because if it's not, then you think people have an agenda. If the man is not thinking the woman has an agenda on gold digger status, when the woman has the advantage in terms of income, she's looking at him and wondering, is he really worth her time, or that he doesn't make enough money? And so those become issues, even though they don't always show themselves right away, but it eventually comes into play in a relationship. And so I think that, you know, almost like, what is his name, Joe? I think he's right. You know, Dutch sometimes is the best way to go, though I don't prefer that, but I think that people would come out a lot better if they did in terms of equality. You know, that's just my thought on the matter. But me, myself, I go in, I'm paying for everything all the way across the board and not even thinking about it, because I'm usually choosing who I want as opposed to being chosen.
Okay. And, you know, and I'm cool with the Dutch, and let me explain why. And we have someone else that's added to the show, see. All right, so I'm cool with that because I've met so many women that, number one, they get on dating apps just to meet men and go out for 3 or 4 free meals, or as many as they can get.
Wow.
And they have no interest in him at all. And that I have a problem with, for one.
Yeah.
And for two, just like Joe mentioned, if I meet you and we kind of liking each other, we're vibing, and we're both paying for our own meal, it's a level playing field. Because I'm not trying to use anybody, and I'm not trying to give somebody the wrong idea. So
and I'm not trying to owe anybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to have to put out at the end of the night because it's been $100. So I'm with you. But we just had someone join the show. We're talking about dating in the 21st century. Tell us your name, where you're calling from tonight.
Hi, this is Jeff from New Jersey. How you doing?
Good, Jeff. What are your thoughts when it comes to dating in the 21st century?
Oh, I have more of a question, actually, is that, you know, I'm a young guy, 28 years old, good career, good job, own a house, no debt or anything. But I have some weird sexual fetishes, and I'm a good-looking guy, and, you know, I date a lot. But at what point do I want to do these fetishes, but I don't know without freaking out the person or waiting, or do I just not even acknowledge it? Because I always think about it. I've been in relationships before where I always want to perform these kind of fetishes, but I'm always afraid to bring it up to the person. Should I just let sleeping dogs lie, that's a fantasy world, or should I try to talk to the person about this?
Well, we're going to let the guys answer first, because if we don't like what they say, then we're going to get them. So, Joe, talk to him about that. What should he do?
Joe? Yes, hello?
Yeah, I was asking Joe what his thoughts were about that. And can you elaborate?
Okay.
Can you give us an example of what some of the fetishes are?
I obviously you don't know who I am, so I can just tell you. I like to wear women's underwear. I'm interested in pegging when a woman wears a strap-on and has sex with a man. So I know that sounds kind of extreme, but maybe it's not extreme. Maybe that's becoming more normal. But I don't know.
Well, we don't
but
judge.
It's something that's always... What's that?
We don't judge.
Okay, thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I want to wear women's underwear for my partner. I want to be a French maid for my partner, and I want to, and it's, I know it sounds extreme, but I just wasn't sure at what point do I just even try to hint at it, or just don't even bring it up. I feel like I brought it before and the girl's like, ah, that's not really my thing. Okay, that's fine, but it's something that's always kind of there and in my back burner. I'm always thinking about it.
Go ahead.
I think that what happens is this, is that you have to kind of consolidate that before you really enter in a dating thing. That's not something you really want to spring on somebody. You want to deal with people who are into it and will enjoy it as much as you do, as opposed to being repulsed by it. So I think that, you know, just you're going to probably run afoul of a few people before you finally find one that's going to, you know, agree to your terms or just even experiment with you on that level. But if you really seek an enjoyment, then you want to deal with groups. There are people who are really, really into it. And so I think that for your own satisfaction, you might want to, you know, use that route first, because I think a lot of people might just kind of be adverse to some of it, maybe not all of it, but some of it, you know. So, you know, just so you won't be disappointed in the end, you know what you're doing going in.
Yeah, I guess I just think I'd rather just address it first before I start liking this person, having feelings for the person, and then it's like, oh,
yeah,
when I have this, I want to do. So that's kind of the issue,
yeah,
I have.
Yeah, you got to do that. You definitely got to do that, because then, you know, again, you might waste a lot of time, because you don't, like I say, I'd say out of four people, I'd say three would say no and one would say yes, you know.
And then
maybe
you have a lucky night.
Yeah,
those are good odds. Three out of four. Why don't you do it the easy way and just go on Craigslist? There are websites, dating sites that specialize in that.
Yeah,
if you're going to bring on a girl and you don't even know her, three out of four is pretty damn good odds. So, you know, do
what
that.
What kind of website?
Go to Craigslist.
You know what? Try FetLife.
Tinder is a site where you can just about do anything, and they've got other sites. Look it up on Google. There's got to be websites out there for specialists for fetishes. Fetishes
you put
have been
it
around
on your
since
profile,
eh,
then there's going to be people with other with
yeah
with fetishes of their own that, you know, together. But yeah, I don't think you just go on a regular site, meet a regular woman, and she's gonna, you know, I don't think the odds are three out of four. I mean,
no,
one out of four. I think your odds are closer to one out of, you know, 8 to 10.
That's what I expect. Yeah, so that's what I wasn't sure. Like, I want like a normal, like, obviously I'm a pretty normal person, but like I just have this knack, I have this thing I like, so that's why I wasn't sure. But all right, well, thank you very much. You were very helpful in that question and that answer.
Well, listen, but at the end of the day, look to find what you want and what you desire, because one thing I know in life from being in this industry and helping people get on dating sites, a lot of time people have fetishes and they're afraid to speak out because of their fear of being judged. But the things you want is not abnormal, and you act, there's so many sites, like FetLife, for example. There's places, put it out there, be discreet until you can get someone that you guys can kind of make magic together. And we definitely bid you success, because you're young, you got stamina, and you should live your best life doing all the interesting things you want to do.
Without getting too personal, have you ever had anything similar to that experience of a guy asking you a weird fetish thing or anything like that, or no?
I have, yes.
And what has that fetish, has it been so extreme you said no, or did you actually try it?
It led to me creating a company where I help thousands of people fulfill fantasies. So you definitely have to give us your information so we can get you connected with a whole community of people that's just like yourself.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Hopefully we hear from you again, New Jersey. We're on here tonight at the same time. All right. Thank you, New Jersey. All right. Good night. All right, guys. And again, dating has changed a lot in the 21st century. So last two questions for tonight. Social media and dating. When you're dating and in a relationship, is this what you post every day on social media? Are you tagging them? I'm in a relationship with him or her. Is it social media's business, or are you discreet when you're dating? Whoever wants to share.
Corinne, you in?
This is C. No, I'm discreet. I didn't even advertise none of my husbands, because I've been married twice. But I never even advertised them on social media. Like,
none of my husbands.
I really don't. And like my last husband was like, we don't take pictures together. I'm like, we take pictures, just don't post it. Like, I don't know. I just don't need people in my business.
Okay. So she's a freak.
I totally agree with Z. So if you go to my Facebook, like, I spent my birthday on the beach in the grill in Jamaica with my man. And, you know, there's two pictures. And, you know, the rest are the beach and the beautiful sunsets. And I just, again, don't think, you know, the second you start posting all your personal business, that's usually when things are going down the toilet. You know, you're about to end and, you know, you're trying to show you're living your best life, but behind the scenes, I just don't see a need to put them all up there and, you know, get everybody, you know, let everybody know that I'm living this life better than you are.
Okay. Guys, what are your thoughts?
You talking to me?
You and Joe?
I have a short answer, and that's discreet. Definitely discreet, because, you know, I'm kind of old school, and you remember your girlfriends. You don't talk about what you do with your man, with your girlfriend, because your girlfriend wind up with your man. Same thing with posting all your business on Facebook. You letting everybody see what you got, and they want that. That make sense?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I understand.
Yeah,
just, Joe, any comments or thoughts?
Yeah, he's got a good point. If you start talking about how good your man or your woman is, and you like to, you know, you like to have conversations with strangers, this is what Facebook is all about. It's about attracting strangers. It is about communicating with friends and family, too, but mainly people like to communicate with quote-unquote friends. So when they're attracting strangers and the strangers start looking at the pictures and they see your girl in a bikini and they start getting friendly with both of you, eventually, you know, somebody's going to want to creep around your girlfriend.
I did want to add something. I was going to do a couple channel, but that was all for a business for a business purpose. That's the only way I think I would advertise a relationship, and it would be like we mutually understand this is a business that we're embarking on, and it is what it is.
Because you are the same one that talked about you were going on dates for payments as well, correct?
Yes.
Because she's
back
about
in the
those
day.
Coins. That wasn't too long ago. All right. So my last question for tonight, ladies and gents, I am going to ask to close out and give a tip about dating in the 21st century. But before that, what do you want? What's your end game? If you're dating in the 21st century and you're not married today, what do you want? What's your end game? Are you in a relationship now? Are looking to get into a relationship because you're looking to get married, you're looking to live together and just kind of have that be your companion, are you still playing the field? Where are you at in life right now? What is your end game? What do you want? Whoever wants to go first, what's your end game?
Well, I'll take the lead on this one. I'm single by choice and basically looking, don't know exactly what I'm looking for, but I'll know it when I see it, you know, because I trust my eyes and my ears. And I just think that, yeah, I might want to take it somewhere, but I won't force the issue because I don't think that works when you just kind of try to force something. And I'm not rich, so I can't just have it my way. So, you know, I'm content with meeting somebody very nice and, you know, polite. And those are the type of people I'm into. I don't need a gold digger type, because as soon as I sense that, you know, that's end game right there for me.
Okay.
All
right, so you're single, on the market, open to dating, or are you looking for marriage? Is that something that you're open to if you find the one?
I'll let the relationship dictate that. I'm not necessarily looking, but sometime you run into the right person and you want to lock it in.
Wow. Respect. Thank you, Kat, for that. All right, who else wants to share? What's your end game?
I think for me, I mean, I made it to the age that I'm in, and I'm not looking for divorce. So I struggle with, watching and seeing what's out there. And so I'm in a relationship, and it's long distance, but it works for us. And, really what I want for the long game is a partnership. I want somebody that brings me joy, that we can travel, we can have our normal life, I can work my business, and there's no jealousy, no worries, I'm not so much worried about, if I was worried about getting married, I'd have done it a few times, right? But it's more, life is too short to be unhappy and to be with the wrong person. So I'm happy and content where I'm at. If we decide to get married down the line, then that will be a discussion, and we'll make that decision. But neither of us has been married, and so it's strange to get to this age, but it is what it is. Just be happy, enjoy the time together, and you make your decisions as you go.
Okay. Spoken like a boss. All right, Corinne and Joe, who wants to go next?
I can go next. I'm in a relationship now, long distance, not as long of a distance as Dee's relationship, but, it's long distance. And considering I don't just live with people, because I've never just lived with a boyfriend. I've lived with my ex-husband. Well, we live together, but I'm not into, I'm not one of these people that just, shack up with guys. So, my end goal is to be married again. I'm not, thirsty. I've never, was looking to get married either time that I was married. It just happened to be that way. But I'm not saying that I'm looking to get married, but I am open to it if that's when the situation arises or, further down the line.
Okay. And just like I told you last night, you don't have to marry everybody you start dating.
Listen, that's good. So that meant I only dated three guys.
And girl, shack up.
Thank you.
She says the third time's a charm, so
girl,
I guess I got to go get another dress.
Shack that up. Sorry.
All right. What about you, Joe? What's your end game?
Well, first of all, I don't believe in marriage. The theory of marriage is terrific, but people base marriage on hopes and dreams and irrational expectations. So that's one of the reasons why marriages don't work. 53% to 55% of first-time marriages end up in divorce. And you would think people would learn their lesson, but they don't. Because when they get married a second time and become the two-time losers, 60% of the people who marry for the second time end up in divorce. I don't like living together either. In today's world, people know everybody else's business. They also know everybody else's mindset. So when you're living under the same roof, if two people do not know how to accept sameness and oneness and realize that you don't have to have a conversation for 2 hours straight, there are going to be problems. Women in particular, want men to entertain them. Men are supposed to be the protectors and the providers, and that's ingrained in women ever since they're about 6 to 7 years of age. But I believe that a man and a woman should see each other no more than really 5 times a week. The other 2 nights or 2 days out of the week, let them refresh their batteries, recharge their batteries. And then when they get together again, they have something to talk about. Because mindsets change. When you're a girlfriend, you have a different mindset. If you're dating, you have a different mindset when you become the girlfriend. Then you have a different mindset when you become the wife. So men and women should just enjoy each other, find the kind of characteristics that they are looking for. And hopefully two people will, you know, will get together and stay together. But if you're going to think about marriage, you have to change your expectations, because the third time is not going to be the charm.
I don't know, Joe. Well. Joe, I don't know. I agree with what you're saying to a great degree, but, you know, it sounds kind of clinical and cold. I think that you're leaving the love part out, because some people really do fall in love, and that, for some people, creates responsibility and focus and commitment, you know, a lot of things that don't happen in those clinical relationships where you just want to see them a little bit. When you love somebody, you want to see them a lot. But, you know, again, if both parties are working, that's going to create the distances that you speak of. But it just, you know, I mean, it just sounds a little clinical to me, and you're missing that big factor, that love factor. It plays a big part in marriages.
Yeah, I'm not missing out on the love factor. I am being clinical. But you don't be clinical when you're in the relationship. You be clinical while you're dating for a little bit and what you're looking at. Because if you're not looking at it objectively as to what you want, you're going to get what Disneyland has told you what you want. If marriages don't work, and marriages are supposed to be the bedrock of happiness, and they're not working, then things have got to change. You've got to take a look at what you want for your life in an objective, clinical way, so that you know and expect rationally what you should expect and what you should want, so that you don't get wrapped up in love that turns out to be toxic. If marriages work, like I said, first-time marriages wouldn't be 53%, and the second-time marriages wouldn't be over 60%. Something's not working, and they fell in love.
I mean, but at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to matters of the heart, and it's just not, you know, purse strings and, you know, and success ratios and all of that. You know, the people that belong together wind up staying together. You know, people that don't belong together is understandable, and they go their separate ways. But again, just to kind of rule it out and put it, again, I keep using this term, clinical, it just, you know, that's a turnoff. That's a serious turnoff. But, I mean, everybody's got the way they look at it. And I, like I said, I don't disagree with you. I just got a whole another, you know, feel. You kind of, you understand what I'm saying?
That, yeah, I know.
That's just my thought. Yeah.
I know. You want to get into the chemistry part, and I'm not eliminating the chemistry.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, what I advocate, what I advocate is that when people are beginning to get into a relationship, you take out a piece of paper and you write down on the piece of paper what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other, and the deal breakers. This way you can discuss them. You don't just walk into a marriage or into a relationship based upon, you know what? He seems like a real nice guy, or she seems like a real, real dynamite girl. And then you try to make things work when you should never have been together in the first place.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And like I said, the other part of it is just, you know, the focus and the responsibility. You know, when you're responsible for somebody, man, you feel, you know, like you don't want to ever see anything happen to them. You want to be a protector in all forms. And that's just a mentality that most men carry or should carry into those relationships. And if you're not feeling those things, then that's probably, I agree with you, a situation you shouldn't be in. But again, man, it will give you laser focus. You will be concerned. And then the child aspect, when that comes into play, again, that changes the whole dynamic of the thing. So let's not forget that, because most marriages, you know, wind up with a child in the first year or two, you know. And so it changes everything exponentially, you know. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but when you get into the marriage based upon the wrong reasons, the responsibility is there.
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you on that. Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, I like the fact – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, I like the fact of people being able to express what their thoughts are, you know, in respect, because that's definitely what it's about. And we are out of time. We only have about 3 more minutes.
and hopefully everyone will get a chance to share their one tip. We're talking about dating in the 21st century. And here at the Clutch Podcast, we're here for women to be of encouragement, of support, and we don't want to forget about men. And dating is extremely important because people are looking for love, relationships, romance, friendships. So if you had to give one tip to our listeners tonight in reference to what they should be aware of or what they should think or expect for dating in the 21st century, what would that one tip or suggestion be? We'll go out to the men first for that one tip or suggestion, and we'll let the ladies close us out.
I'll go. Follow your heart. Sometimes it's wrong, but sometimes it's not. Follow your heart. You'll have the most fun and enjoyment. Don't be afraid to follow your heart. That's how I would end that. I won't get into the whole other part, but I just think that that's the most important thing, because if you're happy and your heart is happy, that's going to be reflected in the relationship.
Okay? Wow. All right. Joe, give us a tip.
Get into a good conversation with your women or your men and find out exactly what their mindsets are. Find out if they have the character that's necessary to make the relationship work. If you just follow your heart and people want to have their heart fulfilled, which is all, I'm all about that, but you got to do it the right way.
Yeah, but the heart won't come into play until they do what you say. When they do what you say, that's when the heart comes into play. So what we're saying together makes sense.
Yeah, but you have to find the right man and to find the right woman.
Yeah.
You can't do that just fine because
the conversation comes first, and then you follow your heart from that point on. You got to get to know them. I agree 100%. But at the end of the day,
not the way that not the way that you're saying, because the way that you're saying is the way everybody does it. They just want to, the girl's good looking, so the guy wants to be with her because she's friendly, she's cuddly, she's not giving him a hard time yet, so he wants to be with her. The guy's cute, so she wants to be with him. I recommend you get on the phone and you have hour-long conversations with your men and your women. You find out what their mindsets are about politics, about relationships, how they interacted with their mothers and their fathers and their brothers and their sisters. And from there, you have to know what are the characteristics that make for a good relationship. If a person doesn't have integrity, if they're selfish, insensitive, and they show that, don't try to make something out of nothing.
No, I agree. I agree.
Oh, definitely.
That has to precede. That has to be the lead thing. Knowing who you're dealing with.
Yeah, I'm all about quality, mental stimulation, conversation, relationship building. Hey, definitely. I don't care how good you look. If you can't hold a conversation with me, we can't talk about nothing. All right, Corinne and Dara, talk to us. Give us a tip to close out. We have about 1 minute.
Listen, I'll go. I think that most importantly, you should work on yourself before you even think about dating. Because even if you have several conversations with people show you their representative. And then once they feel comfortable, then all of a sudden that representative it disappears. So at the end of the day, if you're comfortable with yourself and what you're doing and your life is fulfilled, regardless of what happens in that relationship, you're going to be fine. You're not going to be as stressed out or feel like, oh, this is the end of the world because I invested all my eggs and all my energy and I'm nothing without that person. So it's really important to work on yourself and make sure you're a whole person before you go ahead and meet a representative of a person.
I agree.
Absolutely. Nobody want to be a two-time loser.
I totally agree with you. And I was going to say pretty much the same thing, but really know yourself is my number one. Know yourself and what you really want. and don't settle. Look at and see the red flag. Look at the red flags. If something doesn't seem right, if it, you know, if it doesn't seem right, it's probably not right. And I heard this tip, and I cannot remember who the gentleman was who said, don't sit down at a restaurant with a man and tell him all your hopes and dreams and everything you love and everything that you want, because they will turn into that and they will be that until they've got you. And I guess that sounds cynical, but the thing is, if you tell somebody you want somebody who's funny, you want somebody who does this, she takes you here and takes you there, they're going to do that until they don't. And don't you always sit down with somebody and you learn about them. You don't tell them what you want, because they will be it. And I'm sorry, gentlemen, if I've offended anybody, but the fact of the matter is, we've all sat down to those dates and said, oh, they want this, they want this, I really like her, so I'm going to be like this. And, you know, so that would be my tip, is let things happen, ask questions, be very vigilant on knowing who you're with.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. I would add one caveat, and that would be that I subscribe to the school of thought that says I would rather have loved and lost it than to have never loved at all.
Definitely.
I agree totally that there are people who are going to extend their left foot forward for a long, long time. And then when they feel that they've got you, then they're going to show the Mr. High personality. So that's the reason why I have a clinical approach with the piece of paper. When you put down on the piece of paper your boundaries, what you expect, and you create situations that you and he or you and she talk about, and then you find out without having to spend 2 years in a relationship to find out that this person is not going to act and react the way that you thought that they would. You talk about it after about 3 weeks, 8 weeks, whenever you feel that a relationship might be coming around the corner. So, for example, a lot of women will make a big deal out of the toilet seat. Here's another situation. When you talk about what will you do if she, for example, has a flat tire at 3 o'clock in the morning and she calls you, what do you two expect from that phone call? Talk about it then. Don't wait until the you get 3 o'clock call in the morning and then the girl says, well, you should be here. And then the guy says, but I got to get up in the morning in an hour. And it's going to take me 2 hours where you are. And she says, well, you're supposed to protect me, but you're 2 hours away. Call AAA. No, you're the man. And then you're going to have an argument about that at 3 o'clock in the morning. Talk about it then. Talk about the toilet seat. Who's going to put it up? Who's going to put it down? Don't have arguments over nothing. Anticipate, react, then you move forward.
So are you not coming to give me a ride at 2 in the morning if I'm having a car issue?
Say that again?
Are you not coming at 2 in the morning if I'm having a car issue?
If I'm dating a woman, she's going to tell me she is my equal and she has her own car. And she's a strong, independent person. And she says she can handle a situation, and if she has to, she could change a tire, and if she couldn't change a tire, she would know how to call AAA. So if we've had that conversation at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then she's going to call me for me to come out there, and I said, well, wait a minute. You're supposed to be the strong, independent woman. Well, yeah, but you're my boyfriend. I said, well, why can't you call AAA? Well, I let my AAA lapse. Well, I was like, well,
because
who fault is that? Well, then, no, you, a boyfriend's supposed to be a boyfriend, not supposed to be a utility man, okay? Not supposed to be a limousine driver, and that's supposed to be somebody who's supposed to be at your beck and call. If you're supposed to be a responsible woman.
Oh, what happened to chivalry?
Well, those are, now see, if those are the expectations, see, that's how dating has not changed in the 21st century. If the women have the expectation that just because a guy carries around a pair of testicles, that he's supposed to be the limousine driver, he's supposed to be the plumber, he's supposed to be paying the bills when she runs out of money, okay, then you're the kind of women that want a different type of man. You don't want a man, all right? You want a limousine driver.
That's
you want a man.
That's my boyfriend.
Yeah, well, then you go get the boyfriend who will be glad to go out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? And then for the rest of the relationship will be an abusive boyfriend or somebody who's just looking to fool around with some other woman.
Well,
but if you're
going to
tell me
too.
You're strong and independent and you can take care of yourself and then all of a sudden you can't, what do I want you for? You
decide. Well, it's not that we can't take care of it. Okay, help me out, ladies. I'm not understanding. I understand what you're saying, Joe, but whatever happened. Oh, is chivalry not a part of dating in the 21st century? Are you guys not opening
if you're
doors?
Telling me
oh, no.
You
tires,
can take care of yourself,
shit at my
and,
house?
And you and I have had this conversation, and that conversation comes to pass, and now you're going to tell me, well, you know I agree that I should have AAA, but, you know, I still want you to come out. But we talked about this, Mary. We talked about what would happen. You're supposed to have a gun on the car. You're supposed to call AAA. What do you expect me to do? Go
well, what
out
happens
there
when you want sex?
What?
I'm going to tell you you're supposed to get your own toy?
get your own toy? I don't know what you mean.
What happens when you want sex?
And she don't want it.
I don't want sex
from that
chick. Are you going
to go get your own sex toy?
I don't want sex from that chick. That chick just lied to me. That chick just gave me her representative. I don't want that representative. She's telling me she is a strong enough woman to be my support system and to be by my side. She can't call AAA. Not even a conversation about changing the tire. You can't call AAA, which is their business to come out and help you change your tire for you to come home. You want me to get out of bed, and I got to go to work in the morning to fix something you're supposed to fix and then go to work from there? I don't need you. You're a burden. You're an albatross.
So,
get lost.
So what business is your girlfriend? You just going to leave her hanging?
Yep.
She's not going to be my girlfriend if she lies to me like that.
No, I'm just saying, what if you're, like, already in the relationship and then this AAA situation comes up? Then, like, do you give her some grace because that's your girlfriend? Or do you say, no, Mary, you should have had this figured out. We're done.
You should have had it figured out. I don't need a brain dead doll.
But no,
I need
a
woman.
But I'm your boo.
Not any. The kind of women I need are responsible, strong women. Not a woman who says I'm your maid, I'm your soulmate, I'm there for you. But at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't pick up a phone and call AAA. No, I need
Joe,
to get out of bed to come and fix the tire for me.
Oh.
Are you out of your freaking mind?
Well, enjoy that single life there, Joe.
Oh, I know. Better to be single than to have women with those kind of who are parasites.
Still like
strong
to know that we're cherished.
Well, sure, but then I like to know that you're strong and independent as you say you are. If you say that you can do this, but then when the time comes for you to do it and you don't, then how would you like it if a man says, you know what, I can do this if you really need me, and then when you call him when you need him, he says, hey, I'm busy. You
well,
don't like
answer
that,
this.
Do you?
Okay, I get you about the independence, and yeah, we can call AAA and get everything done, but what can you do for us? What would you like to do? What would your role be?
My role is to be a protector when you need it, a provider when you need it, to be your emotional backup. to be the same thing you're supposed to be for me.
Because you
a
hurt my emotions
friend.
Just in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Huh? Because
I need
you
to come
emotions.
Fix this tie at 3 o'clock in the morning.
you if you can't call AAA, I don't need you. Simple. What good of a backup are you going to be for me?
There you go. You
now,
set
suppose
up your
you
dating
didn't, suppose you didn't have a boyfriend. Wait a minute. Suppose you didn't have a boyfriend and your car broke down at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are you going to do? You going to wait till 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning for somebody to come in? Huh? You're going to wait 5 hours for some guy to
we're
come by
call
to fix your tire?
Exactly.
Well, now I understand what you're saying. Like you're saying, be considerate. If you get a flat tire at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sleeping, I got to go to work the next morning. Be responsible and an adult, and just call AAA because you should have. I get that. I do agree. But I know some men be like, babe, I don't care. Why didn't you call me? But that's, okay,
well,
but
you can,
I get
you
that.
You can call me to make sure that I'm on the phone with you to make sure that you don't get mugged, but don't call
okay.
me because if it breaks down now, it's going to break down 2 months from now. You're going to have some other situation where I, the guy, have to rescue you from something that you can rescue yourself from. Hey, what do you provide for me if I'm always rescuing you?
What do you want?
What do I want? I want a strong woman who is, as she says, independent, strong, doesn't need a man to always do things for her when she can do things for herself. If you girls can be gymnasts, right, do pole dancing, do yoga, do exercise, do boxing, do MMA, and now you still want a guy to come out and fix a tire when you have AAA? Hey, who needs you?
Okay.
Don't get the guy that likes to be that kind of guy, and then he'll fix everything or try to fix everything for you, and then you act as the princess, and then you'll get a divorce down the line.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Wow.
So on that note...
Hey,
Joe,
if you,
I feel personally attacked by Joe.
Listen, if you need me, I'm bad. But if we can remedy it in a different way, fine. But if you need me, I'm bad.
Well, I need you. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Well, listen, do you have food for your women?
Eats. Call Uber Eats.
I need Joe. If
yeah.
your woman
yeah.
is home and she needs something to eat, is it okay if she calls Uber Eats using your account and your card?
If she needs something to eat and she go out and use my card?
Yeah, card.
On your Uber Eats
account. Still have... And if she's going to pay me back, yeah.
Pay you back?
What are you talking about? You wait a minute.
No, I'm not
you
paying
mean to
you
say
back, Joe.
That I'm supposed to have somebody who can use my card and not pay me back. Use
but
my
next
car
week you may use
and
mine.
Not even put gas in it? What the hell do I need you women for if you're going to be paying? You got to be kidding me.
Is she paying for sex, too?
She yeah. better pay me for sex. Shit, she sounds like a pain in the butt.
Oh, God. Oh, Lord.
Oh.
What do I need you for if you're going to do all that kind of nonsense?
Oh,
seriously, that's why when I was talking about when I first got on the line, if men, women think that they have the qualities that men are looking for, but they don't. You should have a conversation and have a comparison between what a woman thinks a man needs and what a man says he really needs from a woman. Why do you think the wires get crossed?
All right. So what do men need from women? We
that's
have 5 minutes.
Say
what?
No, Corinne, you can't answer because you don't know because Joe's going to let you know what men need from women.
Yeah, I'm going to let
Corinne,
you know
you don't know.
But you should be for a man. That's right. Now, just talk to a man. Most men will give you the answers of like, I want a man a woman will say, I want a man who's a protector and provider. A man will say, I want a woman who is somebody I can trust, somebody who is there for me, somebody I can talk to, and somebody that I can open up to. Now, women will always talk about, hey, you know, we like men with feelings. But you guess what? Talk to men, and they will tell you the vast majority of the time when they open up, and they start crying about something or they start feeling vulnerable about something, the women back off and the men feel it.
But so, that's the wrong woman. So there you go.
And that's about 80% of you, because a lot of women will say, you know what, I wanted I thought I married a strong man, but he just wasn't the man that I thought he was. Yet, I don't mind the alimony coming my way. You know, he was pretty good with the financial department, but irreconcilable differences. Now, get into conversations with men who will tell you straight up what it is to be a man, straight up what it is to be a man with a woman who believes that she should be treated like a princess. Why do you think MGTOW is out there?
I don't know what that is.
Have you men going their own? Look it up on YouTube. MGTOW. MGTOW.
Yeah, I never heard that before. And what does it mean?
When you look it up,
the wrong way.
Men going their own way. It's a lot of men who believe that the dating situation and the attitudes of women versus the attitudes of men are so in conflict that you just really can't. You can't have a good dating situation nowadays. There are a lot of men who've just given up dating. If the right woman comes along,
you know, there are too many nuances that go into the whole relationship thing, and to be able to just sit up and point out the things that could happen, might happen. Of course, it could happen any time, but you can't plan for that. You know, you just got to be satisfied that you got somebody that you really, really care about, and they care about you, and you work out the different nuances about who's going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and who's not. You know, those things don't always happen, and if they do, and it comes to that, and that's the deal breaker, then you had nothing to begin with.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. So that's why you talk about it. You don't wait for it to happen, because even if the guy gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he's going to remember, she called me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, she does it again and then another time, it's going to put a dent in the relationship. Mm-hmm. It's better to find out who you've got in front of you at the beginning or near the beginning than it is to find out 3 or 4 years down the line and then say, I thought I knew him. I thought I knew her. Talk about it. Just like right now on the phone, the women were reacting to that particular situation that I brought up. Now, can you imagine what would happen if they met a guy and the guy said, let's talk about a certain situation, and they bring up that situation? Isn't it better to talk about it than to get into it?
Absolutely.
Isn't it better? Yeah. How would you feel if you're in a conversation? I mean, how would you feel if you're in a relationship with somebody you fell in love with 6 months down the line, and then you call him, and then he says, look, babe, I got to get up in the morning. Look, just call AAA. I'll talk to you later. And you didn't talk about it. How are you going to feel?
I'm devastated. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I think one thing you said consistently on the show is about communication and talking, and I definitely agree, because conversation rules the nation. And whatever that situation is, definitely talk about it. You know, with giving polite rejection, talking about expectations, just really being good when it comes to communicating. And I know the show is about to end. I don't want us to get hung up on, but I really appreciate everyone just sharing your thoughts and just kind of different feedback. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You won't get hung up on. Blog Talk Radio will let you go. If you haven't got hung up on 5 minutes after your expected time, it'll let you go for at least an hour. It'll be archived.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people won't hear it over the years, but they will hear it if they download the show.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. Oh, yeah, we had more time because I extended it, but I know that our engineer on the other end said we had, like, I think 3 minutes left or something like that. You learn something new every day. But I appreciate you guys, and we're here every night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time having another great topic. And right now on the trail, we're talking about dating, love, relationships, finding your tribe, what women want from men. And I guess we got to find out
hear that.
What What the hell
that.
Do men want from us? But I'll tell you one thing, Joe. You're in the doghouse and you're not getting sex right now, so you got to redeem yourself.
Oh,
I have, tomorrow.
I have gotten sex with my attitudes. I'm not worried
no,
about it.
No, you're not getting sex. You're in the doghouse. You got to come back tomorrow and redeem yourself. Because right
I'm
now,
not,
you're
I don't have to redeem. I may come back,
you
but I don't have to redeem.
I'm trying to,
I don't have
because
to redeem.
I need you. I need you and Carl to come give me the Uber Eats card and come fix my tire.
Oh, is that right? Well, I can. Well, good luck.
I'll live
see,
in the
Carl
name of
said
love.
He'll do it. He'll do it in the name of love. I'll just watch both of you do it. Okay.
I already told you to have it done with you.
He's so in touch on that Uber Eats, girl.
Hey, Tawanda, I already told you to have a gun with you if the car breaks down. So I'm with Joe on that.
Joe on what?
Remember
I told you to have a gun with you out in the middle of Tennessee.